This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Detective Johns took the witness stand on day three of Mario Fernandez's murder trial in Jacksonville. Under cross-examination, he acknowledged no communication records connect Fernandez to Henry Tenen. Not a phone call, not a text, not a cell tower ping placing them together on the day Jared Breidigan was killed or during the alleged rehearsal drive. Fernandez, of course, is charged as the orchestrator of Breidigan's murder, not the gunman. The prosecution's case is a conspiracy. Two men allegedly working together, different places, different times, one directing, one shooting. Proving that requires proving they coordinated. On day three, the evidence connecting them physically at the same place at the same time did not arrive. And the defense would like you to make note of that because, well, if they're not there at the same time, you know, arm around each other, holding hands as they fire the weapons or cock the gun, well, that must mean something. It really doesn't. But the game's reasonable doubt. On February 16th of 2022, Breidigan stopped his car on a Jacksonville Beach Road to move a tire placed deliberately in his path. His two-year-old daughter was in the back seat. He stepped out of the vehicle and someone shot him. The state alleges Fernandez directed the killing through Tenen, motivated by a custody dispute between Breidigan and Fernandez's wife, Shanna Gardner Fernandez. Tenen initially pled guilty to second-degree murder, but later withdrew the plea. He faces his own trial in 2027. Tenen's DNA was recovered from the tire in the roadway. Kind of a big deal. He was a major contributor. It was on the truck keys in the steering wheel of the vehicle. The prosecution says carried the gunman. The prosecution alleges Fernandez obtained the murder weapon through a man named Biggerstaff. Biggerstaff purchased a 10mm handgun in 2016 and later forfeited it after a felony conviction. He told investigators he no longer had the weapon. No evidence establishes that he gave it to Fernandez, at least not yet. The defense offered a different explanation for Fernandez's visit to Biggerstaff. Video recovered from Fernandez's phone showed him with Biggerstaff's wife. The prosecution needed those visits to be about a gun. The defense said they were personal. The Glock 10mm handguns were sold at Beach's pawn shop 1 month after the murder. Breidigan was killed with a 10mm round. The caliber matches and the timeline is suggestive, but no forensic connection links those weapons to the bullet that killed Breidigan. The murder weapon has never been recovered. Cell phone records show Tenen's device traveling from Potomac Drive to the gymnastics studio to the ambush site. And back on January 29th, Fernandez's phone placed him at his own property. And the records show no communication between the two devices. Johns connected the rehearsal theory. It rests on inference. ATF agent Glenn Faring testified about DNA recovered from shell casings at the murder scene. Casings carry biological material, sometimes from whoever loaded the ammunition. The DNA on the brass actually matched Jared Breidigan, the victim, not any of the alleged conspirators. The prosecution offered no explanation for how Breidigan's DNA ended up on ammunition, allegedly loaded by and fired by someone else, other than, well, the bullet did travel through someone. Every exhibit the prosecution put in front of the jury to connect Fernandez to Tenen didn't really go anywhere. The prosecution's answer to that gap was testimony. What witnesses say Fernandez told them before and after the killing. Taylor Kutis, let's meet Taylor, identified via Zoom from Tennessee. She met Fernandez in 2013 at Vanderbilt University's ROTC program, where he was her drill sergeant. They had a brief relationship that ended in 2015. Kutis is a corporate sales trainer married to a military husband. Before Breidigan was killed, Fernandez told Kutis he had a special set of skills from his time in the Army. He mentioned a contract with Gardner's family after the shooting. Fernandez described the murder to Kutis as a hit and run. He took a calculated killing and repackaged it as a traffic accident. Kutis heard skills, a contract, and then a cover story in that order. And she never called law enforcement. Maybe she didn't think much of it. Under cross-examination, Kutis acknowledged her recollections were not verbatim. She took no notes at the time. She learned details about the case from media coverage after Breidigan's death. The prosecution really needs her testimony because without it, no evidence really connects Fernandez to the killing. Her decision not to call police after hearing those words is part of her testimony, whether the prosecution wants it to be or not. Victor Cortez also testified. He met Fernandez in March of 22, 1 month after the killing. Cortez had known Fernandez since 2010 through online gaming. Fernandez described Breidigan's death as a hit and run, the same phrase he used with Cudas. The meeting had nothing to do with Breidigan beyond that phrase. Cortez described a man conducting ordinary business with nothing to conceal. Custody documents and family group chat messages came into evidence. The arrangement was a 60-40 split with scheduling modifications. Thousands of texts showed disputes about school choices and therapy decisions. They did not contain threats. The disputes that existed were resolved before Breidigan was killed. The prosecution needs a motive strong enough to drive a man to orchestrate a murder. The custody record on day three did not deliver one. Now, that's one thing. There is a lot of evidence in this case, and it's important to put it all out there. Not every single road that's driven down is going to lead to the giant bonfire that is this case. But you have to show the jury all of the roads if you want to eliminate reasonable doubt, because reasonable doubt quite oftentimes is at the end of those quiet roads, the ones that at the end of the day, the defense will point to and go, see, we don't know what's down that road. We didn't explore that. Despite the 50 that you went down over here, that all led to the same bonfire of the murder of Jared Breidigan and everybody standing around it that seems to look like these people that are being accused of being involved in it. The cash advance loan belonging to a tenant documented his financial desperation around the time of the murder. Before withdrawing his plea, tenant agreed to cooperate in exchange for a reduced sentence. A man was drowning in debt who pleads guilty and agrees to talk has every reason to shape his account. The jury will not be sequestered for this trial on day three. What they carry home is a conspiracy case where no record connects the alleged conspirators directly to each other, at least not in terms of the same vehicle, committing the same crime at the same time. It is the work of a conspiracy to which it is charged. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'll be covering this case every single day, bringing you the latest from the courtrooms. Look forward to getting your thoughts there in the comments section. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.